Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Steve Perry, Administrator of the General Services Administration. Joining us in our conversation, Steve Watson, another PwC partner.
Steve, in the last segment, we were talking about the various e-government initiatives that GSA is leading. You touched on three of them. Are there others?
Yes, Steve. I think I mentioned e-authentication, e-travel, and we talked a little bit about integrated acquisitions. And in a general sense, we talked about a fourth one, which is called USA Services, which we call our Office of Citizen Services, which has to do with the use of our firstgov.gov website to become the portal for providing information and then ultimately the ability to conduct transactions with the federal government. That's the fourth one. And then the fifth and the final one that we've been asked to serve as the managing partner for is called Fed Asset Sales. And this is to make available to the public assets that the government no longer needs or can use and has available for sale. Some of those assets are personal property, vehicles, boats, and things of that nature. Other assets are real property, land and buildings that may not be required for agency missions anymore. And then another category are security assets that the Department of Treasury makes available for purchase by the public. We are attempting to put in place a website which would be sort of a one-stop shop for any individual or business that would want to purchase a government asset. That would be the way that would happen, and that those make up the five projects that we're working on.
GSA has expressed a desire not to let the human capital need become a crisis. What are your top HR concerns, and how are you addressing them?
Well, the issue of managing human capital has to do with building the organizational capability necessary to achieve the goals that an organization has set for itself. And as we have set our goals, we are now in the process of assessing whether or not we have people with all the right skills and competencies to be successful in achieving those goals. And we've identified five areas where we know that we have to do some more work in terms of, first of all, additional training and development so that we can enhance the skills of existing people. Second, we will do some more work in understanding what our attrition will be, you know, being prepared in the event of retirements and what have you. So we're working to make sure that we're prepared for smooth transitions in those cases. And then thirdly, doing targeted recruitment to bring into the organization people who have skills that are particularly needed. And some of those skills obviously will exist in the five mission-critical areas that I may have mentioned, IT, real estate management, security, which is a big one.
You're also taking a lead role in embracing teleworking for employees. What's teleworking?
Well, teleworking, or telecommuting as some people call it, has to do with carrying out your normal work but doing it outside of your normal office place. And sometimes that can happen at home if you have the computer equipment on the home end in order to interact with the network at your office. Or other times it can happen in a teleworking center where you would drive from your home and to some other location closer to your home than your office and do the teleworking from there. And we've built 15 such centers in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, including Virginia and Maryland, so that in some cases people drive from their home to the teleworking center and then they carry out their work from that location. It has a number of benefits. One of the benefits is that it helps to improve the quality of life in some sense, quality of work life, in that people can use that as an approach to accomplish their work and be productive without necessarily having to drive to work. A second benefit area is that it reduces the transportation problems and snarls and traffic congestion that we have to some extent. And it may have a favorable, or would have a favorable impact as well on pollution resulting from driving our cars in these congested areas. Another area of benefit is that in the case of some individuals, they actually wouldn't be able to work if they didn't have the telecommuting as an option, at least for portions of their time. So you might take somebody who their personal life schedule is such that they really couldn't take on a 40-hour a week kind of a job. But if they could work some of that time from a telecommuting center, and some of that time from their home, and then some of that time in the office. In some instances, it makes it possible to actually recruit that person.
What are the challenges of telecommuting?
Well, one of the challenges was to be able to afford the cost of the equipment that would be necessary to carry it out. But that cost has come down dramatically in recent years, so that's not so much of an issue anymore. Now the challenge becomes, is the nature of the work such that telecommuting fits? For example, a receptionist can't telecommute from home because he or she has to be at a location to carry out the job. The same would be true of a maintenance person. They have to be physically where the assets are that they're going to be working on. But there would be others who are, for example, involved in report writing or in report review or some other kind of activity where their interaction with other associates can be done electronically or over the phone. And in those cases where the nature of the work is right, then telecommuting fits. So that's one issue. The other issue is a little bit of a cultural issue. Telecommuting is relatively new for us in our culture, and so we are finding that managers and subordinates in the manager's office have to get used to this idea of not being in the same workspace and nevertheless being confident that work is being achieved. And they can get that confidence if they have developed together the performance expectations. You know what is to be done, you know what the time frames are, and as long as all those things are being achieved, whether the person is in the office or working from a telecommuting center, it becomes less and less of an issue.
GSA's mission requires it to work closely and cooperate with other agencies to get its work done. How hard is it working across an organization as large as the federal government?
Well, it does present its challenges, but you're absolutely right. In order for us to be successful in carrying out our work, we have to work with individual agencies and many times with multiple agencies together. And, you know, that just requires us and the other agencies to adopt a spirit of teamwork. In the aftermath of September 11th, I think we learned that we could do that because although the terrorist attacks of September 11th are a memory that we don't like to keep reflecting on, one of the lessons learned from that was how our government agencies did in fact act very, very closely together. There's numerous examples of that. I know in our case, GSA and FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, worked very closely, and we helped for them to locate space where they could operate in New York, and we provided them with materials and so forth that they needed to conduct the search and rescue efforts and provide other assistance. The same was the case with the Department of Defense here in Washington, D.C. As you know, the airplane attack on the Pentagon caused them to be completely disrupted, and they needed to be placed back into space and re-equipped with telephones and telecommunications equipment and so forth. And so our two agencies worked night and day, literally, and very closely together to accomplish those things. And it's just an example that it, in fact, can happen, and we know that we can do it. Within our agency, our three major services of technology, supply, and buildings also found that we could work very, very closely together in providing total solutions to our customer agencies in a way that was closer than we had worked previously. So, yes, it has to happen. It can happen. It does happen. There are always challenges, you know, the challenge of independence as opposed to collaboration. But we're learning in these days that collaboration is the route to high performance. We're doing it within GSA, and I think we're doing it more and more within the total federal government.
You describe a lot of successes. What were your lessons learned in terms of going forward about how to make this happen absent a crisis?
Well, the issue of being clear in our mission and our understanding of our capabilities, that from a customer perspective, they expect GSA, as I say, to deliver a total solution. They don't necessarily look at us only as an entity that provides physical space or only as an entity that provides telephone service or telecommunications. They look at us as an agency that provides everything that they need for the successful operation of their agency, other than the people themselves, and they bring that. But as we look at ourselves in the way our customers look at us, it causes us to understand that we can better meet their needs by working collaboratively across all organizations or aspects of our GSA.
That's a good stopping point. Come back with us as we continue our discussion about management with Steve Perry of GSA. What will the future hold for government and GSA? We'll ask Steve for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour continues.
The PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government recently published a report, Audited Financial Statements, Getting and Sustaining a Clean Opinion. It details the steps that agencies must take to improve financial management and pave the way to a sustainable clean opinion. The author, Doug Brooks, shares case studies of successful and unsuccessful agencies and makes recommendations about resource, leadership, and technology for those agencies working toward a clean opinion. For free copies of this report, visit our website at endowment.pwcglobal.com or call us at 703-741-1077.